Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
Thank you. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the inaugural episode of Game Stuff. Yeah, as always, I'm going to be having and do have with me Kalai.
What up, people?
And Joseph.
Hey, hey.
What's going on, Joe? What's going on, Kalai? I am Paul, better known as Philosophy on the interwebs. Ta-da, magic. That's where I am everywhere. So for those that don't know, Game Stuff is primarily just a discussion-based show. We're just going to have random topics come up, either from social media, shit that we just come up with in our heads, or possibly the community. If the show, you know, spreads out much, we get a bigger audience. And with that, we're just going to, you know, take what we like and see what we can make out of it. See what kind of weird discussions that we could pull out of our ass. Also, what we can come up with from said discussions. So, you know, if somebody else wants to bring some stuff on the show, we're more than welcome to have guests. I'm planning on having guests. I already have a couple people in mind. But, yeah, feel free to share your thoughts with us. Even if it's about a recurring topic, if other people want to come on board and talk about some shit we talked about last week, more than happy to do it, as long as it's expanding the topic. So, with that said, we're going to start this show as we will every week. What have you guys been playing?
Well, Friday night, my husband said to me, let's play some Gears of War 4. And I said, okay, it's a good idea. And lo and behold, we beat the game. I got to the point in the game where I was like, I can't believe this is the ending of the game. I was really surprised I beat the game.
Was it just like a quickness thing that you were just kind of just so shocked that it went by so fast? Or was it like, was it at all disappointment? Because I was kind of worried about that game. I played the first three.
Okay, so you know how the end of each one has this beautiful wrap-up? You feel that you accomplish something by the end of it. You get a glimpse of who you're fighting, and that ties into the next game.
Mm-hmm. Possibly. I'm not going to say 100%.
Yeah,
right?
I never played the fourth one. Unfortunately, it's locked on a
PS4. I'm talking about the first three.
I remember is Mad World and the Resonator. Mm-hmm. That's the extent of my knowledge.
This one ends terribly.
With a mad resonator.
It was like I didn't even realize that I had beat the game. It was just...
It just ends?
It ends at a specific point, and you're just like, wait, what just happened? They never resolved this issue. They never resolved this issue. You only have a vague idea of who this new Horde-type character is. And a lot of the new characters and the new stuff they put in there, you can see, oh, well, I remember that specific type of character from Gears of War 2 or Gears of War 1. They just reskinned it. So you can kind of see some of that stuff going on. So that being said, I really want the next one because I kind of want to find out what's going on.
See, that's the problem, though. That's how they get you.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
They got you already.
I'm like, this is terrible. When do I get the next one?
I don't know. I have like a weird thing with those games. I like the gameplay, and like, especially when, you know, they kind of like fully revitalize Horde mode in the third game and really flesh it out. Like that was the one where I was like, man, this is so much fun with my friends, and we're all playing and we're fucking going all these crazy levels in Horde mode. Great. And then it was like, what was it, Judgment, I think it was, that came out.
I like Judgment.
I did not put hands on with that game, so I can't speak directly to it, but just watching people play, it was like, this looks a little bit like regimented, way towards like more of like a class-based game. I don't like that. And then it seems like they did the same thing with 4's multiplayer.
I mean, I feel like what they did with Judgment is they really started to kind of do what they did with Bulletstorm, and they used like a star system and like a rating system for like kills and stuff like that, and they kind of made it more skill-based at the same time of playing a Gears game. So that's kind of what I took away from Judgment.
I liked Judgment. Judgment didn't bother me. So, I also started the new DLC pack for the Zelda Breath of the Wild.
So how are you enjoying that?
My God, I actually really like it. I know a lot of people are anti-DLC, and I'm glad Nintendo's getting on the bandwagon. For the price I paid for it, I've gotten plenty of entertainment out of it. I tried the trial of the Master Sword, because I hear that when you finish it, the Master Sword doesn't break anymore.
Nope, so no more breaking.
So I'm like, yep, that's it. That's me. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to do... I got to level 9.
I mean, even if it breaks, doesn't it come back anyway? You can still go get it back.
That seems like a real shitty prize for all the work.
I mean, because you could just go get your Master Sword back, so...
No, I don't even think you have to
get it back. It just pops up in your inventory when it refreshes.
It stays in your inventory, but at the same time, like, I'm farming stuff, and the thought of, like, every weapon in that game breaks. For the thought of having one weapon that doesn't break that I don't actually have to worry about, I kind of like. Plus, after the first 12 levels, its power goes up by 10 permanently. And then in the next, like, 12 or 15 levels, it goes up another 10. So it actually gets more powerful with each
increment. Does that apply to, like, the bonus on the fucking, like, the ancients and shit? Because you know how it's like, okay, the sword is, like, 30 damage or whatever. And then you'll fight one of them and you'll get the double buff for, like, damage, and it'll go to 60?
I don't know, but I'm assuming so, because why? Because
that would
they
be fucking insane.
I think they're actually...
You'd, like, drop it in, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
I might get that just for this now. Like, I'm just gonna get the game, start from scratch, but like bush it to the Master Sword, do this whole thing, and just fucking not use anything else.
Just play it on hard. Buy
all the amiibos.
Just play it on hard. Just play it on hard.
I don't know. I was thinking about it too once this came out, because you said you were enjoying it, and I saw a lot of weird bugs that really started to catch my interest. Because before the show, we were talking about this. I really like to break video games. That's kind of my thing. And I saw that there was, like, part of the trial, I think it was Kotaku that put this article up, where this guy, there must be like a lift or something like that, and he went up to like a ledge to get a chest and just went through the wall.
I saw that.
And like found a whole like untextured area that he was able to walk around and shit.
Nice.
And then the other thing I did with the DLC was I got the Korok mask to try that out.
How many seeds did you find? God.
Oh my God. Every 5 steps it's going off when there's 900 seeds in the game.
People who might not be like aware of what's in the DLC, can you kind of just run through like the whole package like real quick? Like,
sure.
What does this first DLC entail?
So this DLC gives you the Master of the Trials, which we talked about. It gives you the Korok mask, which will allow you to help. It will shake and make noise when you're near a Korok seed. However, it's not very specific, so you kind of really have to look around. It also gives you 8 new armor sets. I believe it's 8. I could be wrong, but it's all of the previous. It's like the Twilight Princess armor. I know you can get the Tyndall armor, which I'm kind of want to rock the fairy.
I'm going to isolate that and save that for later. That sounds great. I want to rock the fairy. Let's all rock the fairy.
I see a meme being please. Made of me.
Max it out first.
It also gives you an item in your inventory. Well, you have to find the item that you can drop it wherever you are, and it will create a point that you could warp to. So you'll be able to like warp back and forth to places. Like if you're in the middle of this place and you need food,
so
you can
warp back. So it's just a fast travel beacon.
It is a fast travel beacon, and then,
one that works. Cool.
Yes.
That's bananas.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. And then the last thing, which we kind of had a discussion before about, gives you the ability to see exactly where you walked. And I don't know if you remember me saying I wanted to see where I was walking because I could be going in circles. And oh yeah, I was definitely going in circles.
You can't not in that game though. Like everything looks the same in certain areas. So you're like, they're looking around for stuff, and you're like, man, was I here?
This rock looks especially familiar. If you get to like, if you go from like, especially if you're just starting the game, like if you go directly from the plateau to like Hyrule Field, there's not that drastic of a difference outside of the enemies. Like, you immediately start seeing guardians, and you're like, oh, man, this is the wrong place.
I should not be here right now.
Outside of that, it's just more trees and, like, forests. So I could definitely see where it's just, like, you just start looping around, like, wait, wasn't that the plateau?
You're like, can I fight this thing with a stick? Oh, nope. I'm gonna leave.
Yeah. I don't know what that laser is. Should I run at it? Like, yeah, that's all that. That seems cool, though. So that's what you've been playing. I'll just brush through what I've been playing real quick. Jumped back into Disgaea 5 Complete, because I kind of put that to the side for a little bit. I was playing Skyrim for a little while. I want to say about like 2 weeks, and I just fucking annihilated that game from top to bottom. I did literally everything outside of get all the trophies. And I picked up Cave Story Plus.
Oh, yes. I saw you pick that up. You enjoying it? Have you played it prior to the Switch, or is this your first time playing it?
This is my first time playing that game. It's weird because it'll kind of lead into our discussion. I'm enjoying the shit out of it because I think maybe because I haven't played it, because I have a thing where it's like once it's a phenomenal game. Even Skyrim, like once I hit a point in Skyrim where I started to remember shit, that whole game became like it was all downhill from there. Because it was like, all right, well, when am I going to get to the point where like all I have left are these dumb side quests and then just sell this bitch? Like that was what I was thinking of 80 hours before I even hit that point.
Now, so, quick question for you. I don't really know what Cave Story is.
It is a Metroidvania style platformer, action platformer. Oh. So it's got a little bit of shooting. It's got a little bit of jumping.
It's got a lot bit of jumping.
Got an interesting, you know, Castlevania style, like everything is connected style world. Almost a Shovel Knight-esque thing. But it's got its own little story. It's very unique. It's very cute. The way that they deliver the physical version of the game, because I haven't played it prior, so like I didn't have a lot of affection for the characters or anything. But they give you a fucking keychain and a poster and a mini disc of the soundtrack and
that's Atlas though, right?
No, it's Nicalis.
Oh.
They put out The Binding of Isaac.
They did a really good job with that. I wish they would have added extra stuff to Binding of Isaac, physical stuff.
If you like that, you'll like the physical version of this because it's almost identical. The fucking instruction manual is gigantic and has the full story in there, artwork and all that stuff.
Game's going to be rare as shit. That's all I know. Because the 3DS, that's why 3DS I was glad one I got is super it. Rare and expensive.
And for $30 for the physical version with all the trimmings and to hear how good of a game it was, I was like, all right, I'm sold. Like, I'll play this. And I'm enjoying the shit out of it. I just, when I get sucked into something like a Disgaea where I'm real big into numbers and systems. And when you got systems and numbers in one game, I get lost in that shit. So I've been working on Disgaea 5 like crazy. But what have you been playing, Joe?
I've been mostly playing Crash Bandicoot. Insane Collection. It's pretty awesome. I'm sorry.
Two games. Insane. Literally two games back to back that we could talk about in relation to this topic that we got coming
what
up.
What is
so that's
Sand?
It's Insanity Trilogy or whatever. That's just the way they named it. It's Crash 1, 2, and 3 remade from the ground up on PlayStation 4. And it's phenomenal. And it just brings you back to a time in gaming where everything was so much more simpler and you didn't really care about story and it was just all platforming and collecting things and man it was so good to play 90s. A game like that again. Oh yeah. But it was just so good and it makes me like yearn for more games like that. Like I want more platformers. I want more simplistic gameplay. Like I feel like gaming has turned into an industry where it's really all about cutscenes and how far you can push the story and the gameplay kind of gets pushed back to being a secondary aspect of the actual game. When in fact it is a video game.
Man, you should play Disgaea.
I played them all, so.
You would totally be like, man, what the fuck was I talking about?
No, I played them all, so. I love Disgaea, so.
5 is just, like, it's so, that game specifically is so.
It's ridiculous.
Polar opposite almost of what you're.
Oh, saying. I know.
Not to get on you for that, but it's more just like, playing it recently, it's weird to hear somebody be like, man, it's all cutscenes and shit. It's like, man, this game doesn't give a fuck about that.
Well, I mean, that's made by a company who cherishes, you know, 16, 32-bit graphics and really don't want to push their game graphically. They want to push their game on a gameplay aspect.
But, I mean, that stuff is there, though. Like, it's just not in the same way. It's like, they have cutscenes and stuff.
Oh, I know.
Like,
it's just,
they're sketch comedy things. They're like little sketches to laugh at. It's not there to wow you. You know what I'm saying?
But all I have to say about Crash is I cannot remember how I can't like how do I put this into words? Like I can't realize how hard it was to play back then. Now, like that game was hard. All those games were really, really the first one. Really, the first one's a pain in the ass. It's cheap deaths, and they even added more checkpoints so you wouldn't die as much. and it's still hard. Like, the first one is really, really hard. And the second two are pretty easy still, and I haven't really touched most of them. I've pretty much just been playing the first one and trying to finish that up. And then besides that, I've been playing just a lot of random stuff I got on the PSN sale. If you guys haven't checked that out, it's awesome. There's a lot of good stuff on sale.
That sale is literally fucking with me right now, because I was looking at that Elder Scrolls Online when I was done with Skyrim. I was like, maybe I should get back into that on console. Maybe you should. Because I have the PC version.
I picked up like a bunch of easy games that I know I can knock out really quick. I picked up Tennis in the Face, because I love that game, where you just hit tennis balls at people's faces. But it's like kind of like Angry Birds, where like you serve the ball and you have to knock over a bunch of guys and you have a certain amount of balls.
Is that also in VR?
It might be. I don't know.
I think I saw that game getting played in VR. But yeah, that's cool. I checked out the sale also. I think there's a lot of cool, like, definitely some drastic discounts on shit. Especially, dude, like, you look at a game like Diablo, that game is never on fucking sale.
God of War. God of War was $3.99. I picked it up. God of War 3 Remastered, $3.99. I was like, don't have it, buying it. Hitman Go, I got for $1.99.
That's an easy platinum. I platinum that game. I actually picked up the Skya, the visual novel game for the Vita.
Oh, that's a good game.
Enjoy. Yeah, that. and speaking of which, like, the Skya 5 is on fucking sale for like $13.
Yeah. It's a really good sale. If you don't have it for PS4, pick it up.
Yeah, check that shit out. But
go get Murdered Soul Suspect. That's another one. $4.99. Go pick that up. For $4.99, it's worth it. Like, I'll buy anything for $4.99, even if it sucks, because it's $4.99. What are you gonna do with
$5? I'm gonna think of some terrible shit now that you said that,
dude. I would buy the shitty order for $4.99. I would buy the.
What about a bag of shit?
That's
called Mr. Massage.
I mean, it's $4.99. I'm just going up.
Hey man, if I can get trophies for a bag of shit.
Two bags of shit for $4.99.
It's got a trophy. If it's got a platinum, I'll buy it.
Speaking of games that should be $4.99, we're going to get into our topic this week about whether or not ports and or remastered games, I guess, are good for the industry. I'm going to preface this with saying, not to put you on blast, Kalai. Kalai wrote this that way. That's why I'm reading it like that. But I want to get into why you wrote it that way. Because the topic is interesting. Like, why do you think that ports and remasters have that much of an effect on the industry? I mean, it's obvious why. Like, there are clear signs of how this shit is selling. And there's a bunch of them, so they must be selling good. But, like, do you honestly feel that it's that much of a drastic situation where it's like, man, we got these things are fucking stuff up?
Well, the question becomes, if you're putting out a remastered or a port and people are running out and buying it and you're making money off of that and you keep doing that, are you properly putting your resources into giving us new stuff? Does these ports and remasters, I think they stagnate the gaming industry?
I guess. I think it depends.
Depends on the game.
Well, that too, but I think it's more of like a great situation. You know, you look at the Switch now. The current situation of the Switch is it's very limited on what it has to offer. You know what I mean? Because it's just starting. That's just how all consoles start. It's had amazing fucking games on it, and it's clearly getting more, but people just want everything on there, and they're willing to get anything on there.
Well, I mean, look at the PS4 when it first came out, though. It's the same thing. God of War 3 Remastered, Last of Us Remastered. What else was remastered? There's a bunch of remasters when that thing first came out. I think the same thing for the Wii U. That had a bunch of games that were ported from the Wii. Like, it happens every generation. I just think the real problem I see is that either they're too afraid to remaster and make what people want to see. That's one of my issues. Like they sit on a vast library of things that they could remaster, and then they choose to remaster like the thing that just came out last year on a last gen console. Like, remaster something from PS2 that people want to play, not God of War 3, which I really just played like a week ago.
But to my point, though, what I was going to finish saying was in relation to the PS3 to the God of War remaster game, that's a different thing where it's like people played that game. That's a well-coveted game. You had a fucking audience for that game. With games coming to the Switch, most of them are Wii U ports where like the Wii U didn't sell that well. And a lot of those games, because the Wii U underselling, didn't see that large of an audience. So, like, I guess I could just look at those games and see a little bit more of a sensical reason why they would come to this newer console. Because it's like, okay, you do have a large base of players. Get them now while there's nothing. You know what I'm saying? Port these fucking gems over that they could never play.
My thing is, do you think it's fair that they can sit there and go, hey, we literally added a few things to Mario Kart, but we're going to charge you $60 again for it?
Like, is that fair? I mean, I can't necessarily determine what's fair. I can't argue with it because for me I didn't play that game, so even if it came out on the previous gen, if they're giving me every fucking part of the game, the DLC,
I can see that being fair at a $60
like
price tag.
Like in one package, like I'm just looking at it from a consumer standpoint. It's like, oh, banging, like I don't have to buy all that shit separately or like have some weird system to carry it over. It's just a convenience option, especially if I didn't play it.
Yeah, I bought it twice. I bought it on the Wii U because I played my cousin a lot, and I was like, well, I got to get better at this game. I didn't necessarily go buy the DLC. I didn't play enough to get the DLC.
I think that question from Joe applies more to you then, because, I mean, you did at least have the initial $60 copy. Even if you didn't have the extra stuff, you paid the entry price and then paid it again.
And I paid it again because it's portable, and I'm going on a cruise in August, a gaming cruise, and I think it would be really fun because we all have drink packages to sit there and play drunk Mario Kart because all I have to do is stumble to my room. Nice. But the one thing that I do like about the new copy better than the old copy is you do not have to unlock all the characters. And for me, because I play so many games, I don't have to do that.
See, now that pisses me off as a consumer who likes doing all that stuff.
Honestly, like, I'm not going to argue. It doesn't piss me off. I'm agree with you, though. Like, when I bought Mario Kart, that was one of the things where I was like, I don't really know who half these motherfuckers are, but like, at least if I was getting them one by one, I would play as them a little bit and then move to the new unlock. It's like, I'm just looking at this big-ass screen, and it's like, all right, I guess I'm just going to play as my me.
I mean, when I eventually get my Switch, I mean, I will buy Mario Kart because I love Mario Kart. But like, what really sells me on it is like, I can play as Boo and Dry Bones, which are two of my favorite Mario Kart characters of all time, and they're in there. So like, to me, that justifies it. But like, that's not going to be for everybody. Like,
right. But the one thing they do is they do unlock. So there are unlocks. You still have to play like the cup stuff. There's actually unlocks, but like I like the thought of, because Joe lives relatively close to me and so does Phil, I like the thought of the three of us going to Starbucks, sitting there having a cup of coffee, pulling out our Switches, and playing Mario Kart. I mean, obviously I would beat you two, but I like the thought of doing that, of being able to sit down, or like, I travel a lot. My family is an hour and a half away, and I go see my family a lot, so the fact that I can bring the Switch and sit down and pop off an extra controller and sit there and play Mario Kart with my husband or Puyo Puyo Tetris, which is an insane game if you haven't played it, or Bomberman. It's just, it's fun. And the portability makes the resale value higher for me.
Okay.
But outside of that, though, like, does it justify the fact that they're remaking a game? Because at the same time, and this is to just play devil's advocate, while they make all these fucking games and they revitalize the fan base that it could have had, you know, for the Wii U games that didn't see the full audience, does it actually matter, like, when you want new shit? Like, it's like, just, fuck all these people. Like, if they didn't see it last time, like, they missed out. Like, tell them to go fuck off and, like, just get whatever the new one is when it comes out.
Yeah, give me new Mario Kart. Where the fuck's the new Mario Kart?
Do you guys feel like that's a logical argument? Because at the same time, when you think about it, it's like, man, well, I guess they could put new resources into a new Mario Kart, but, like,
But then again, like, you could do it, like, you could say, like, okay, so here's a bad example. Ready? Let's get the bad ones out of the way. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered. They sold it in the double pack with Infinite Warfare. and they sold it for what? I believe it was $80. Mm-hmm. And now it released on last Friday or two Fridays ago, and they're selling that shit for $40. They're trying to hawk a remastered game on a disc for $40. That's over. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, that shit should be $20. Like, no one's going to buy that for $40.
But that's more arguing their price of entry with. I mean, even if it was $20, like.
My thing is, do you think a remaster should be $60? I don't personally fucking
think that if you're going to make a new World War II Call of Duty, that we need to play Modern Warfare. Like, we're going back to that slow style of fucking shooter anyway now. Why do we need. It's like, why do I need to know what the best one was just for you to pull me back into this fucking scenario type thing?
I think remasters would be really well kept on, like, PSN or an eShop or somewhere where it's digital, where you don't have to put out a disc and you don't have to make the consumer eat the extra cost, because I feel like that's what they're doing.
But again, it still goes back to cost, where I think, like, outside of cost, does that... You know what I'm saying? Like, the argument comes into play of more of, like, what do you want to see more of? Do you want to see old games or do you want to see new games? How much are you willing to risk to see those old games or those new games?
It depends. Like, because there's always going to be, like, that one person that wants this or that. Like, I want, like, all I want from Sony is, like, Sony, where the fuck is Onimusha Collection? Put that shit
on. That's a great point.
HD remastered Onimusha Collection. I want it now. 1, 2, and 3. You can even throw in that bum-ass fighting game as, like, an extra bonus. But, like, I want those games. Where are they? You can remake fucking Resident Evil 16 times, but you can't give me Onimusha? Like, come on.
Here I think is... that falls more onto the companies that,
like,
own those
go
IPs,
get with Capcom though. And make it happen. Like,
well, here's another way. Here's a good example of how remasters and are can be bad for the industry. Let's look at Final Fantasy VII. They're remastering it. They're making it into why? Why do they
that's
have
a cash
to make...
grab? That's what that is. That's prying. That's preying on an audience who is gonna buy anything you put in front of them. Like, I know, because I'm one of those audience. I'm a super diehard Final Fantasy fan, and I will buy anything that they put out. It could be a bag of shit that says Final Fantasy VII on it, and I would buy it. I bought 13. I bought 13 2, and I bought 13 3. So
couldn't get through an hour of 13 without being is shit. Why did I buy it?
I bought 10 2. Let's put it that way. Like, on release date, knowing it was going to be a piece of shit, and I still played it.
Why do they need to take a PS2 game and make it, what, 10 episodes or whatever they're going to
because
do?
It's the most overrated and hyped game of all time. Well, no,
I'd also
next
argue
up, next
that,
to
like,
Ocarina of Time, but.
Outside of anything that they've said in regards to that, like, I would not bank on that ever happening. Like, that seems like Kingdom Hearts style shit, where, like, Kingdom Hearts will happen before you ever fucking hear again about Final Fantasy VII.
Like, that's the same fan base, though. They eat that shit up. Like, Kingdom
Hearts. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying, like, Kingdom Hearts is getting a new game. Outside of them making, like,
when?
You know, spending all this money and time, whenever the fuck they put it out.
It's never coming out, dude.
That's my point. It's like, if they're not going to put the time and the resources into a new title, I don't even know why we're talking about the remake for 7.
It's like
I guarantee that shit's not going to happen for another 5 years does happen.
It's like that and Gran Turismo. What's going to come out first?
Exactly.
And here's the thing, though, with that. I bet you how many people... And Joseph, did you do this? Oh my god, I can't wait for the Final Fantasy VII. I'm going to go buy it for the PlayStation because it's on sale for $10.
I bought it when it was 7. I bought it when it was on sale for $7.99. I made that. See? I made that jump. And I own it on PlayStation 1. I own it on PlayStation 3. I own it on PlayStation 4. I own it on my phone. I own it on my tablet.
But this is what I'm getting at. Like, this is exactly what I'm saying. Like, the argument is invalid if you're talking about, like, yo, I own this many copies of this port of this game.
It's like fucking Mario 3. How many times, like, do you own Mario 3, Kali?
Like, what the fuck? How are they going to put this out?
That's it?
Yeah.
I have Mario 3 on my Wii, my Wii U, my 3DS. I own a cartridge copy of it. I own it for Super Nintendo on the Mario Collection. I own it for... I think that might be it. But that's a lot.
This is what I'm getting at, though. It's like, there isn't necessarily just a negative side to this.
No, I mean, it's
always... If you strictly look at it as, okay, they're investing time in things I don't want, then of course you're not going to be happy with what they're putting out. But when you look at, like, all the times you're spending money on a fucking port of Final Fantasy compared to, let's say they release it next year and you spend $60 on a brand new, fleshed, full fucking crazy new version of Final Fantasy, like, that's a whole different game now.
That would take them 20 years to make, though, so.
Of course, but I'm speaking of hypotheticals, you know what I mean? I do think that there are, like, good instances of this happening. I can't necessarily think of, like, a remake off the top of my head where it's like, man, thank God for that.
I can.
Odin Sphere?
No. How about the Nathan Drake collection?
Oh, yeah, that's phenomenal.
I don't have any affinity for those games.
That game sucked me into the series, though.
Even if that's still another game that I feel like that is wholly fucking unnecessary. Like, that is on a recent enough console to where, like, they didn't need to do that.
My thing is, just
ported that shit over.
I didn't own a PS3, so when it came out, I asked for it for Christmas. I played the first one, and I really, really liked it.
But my point isn't, like, whether or not you can play those on PS3. It's that they didn't have to remake the whole thing in one big package like that. Well, as a special bundle for the PS4, you know what I mean? Okay. Like, they could have released those games for $10 a piece in the state that they were in, and all look exactly the same.
But they can't because of the way Sony tried to handle this console generation. That's the problem with Sony this time around. They have to do HD remastered. They have no other choice because they were dumb and refused to make their console backwards compatible or even allow PS3 games to be sold on the marketplace. Like, so they screwed themselves over. Like,
well, whatever the reason is, I'm just stating that, like, that's a difference in like, you might enjoy that game, but was it necessary for them to make it? Versus, like, something that is 100% necessary for them to make, but you might not necessarily enjoy it.
But my thing is, I feel like that's a definitive pack-in title for a PlayStation 4. Like, if that came with every PlayStation 4, it's a good value. You're getting three full games. Like, I think now the pack-in title for PlayStation 4 this Christmas should be Crash Bandicoot Collection. That's what should come with it.
I mean, I guess, but, like, that's besides the point. Like outside of whether or not those games' nostalgia holds to get people to buy those systems, like, I don't give a fuck if they're selling consoles.
Outside
of how they're distributed, does it fucking matter that they remade these?
No, because, like,
was it that drastic of a change?
No.
Like, could they have made it? It's the same thing with The Last of Us. We were talking about this before the show. Thank God you brought this up. Now I remember why I want to talk about it. The Last of Us was the same situation. They could have ported it over the PS3 version.
The only reason they remastered it and ported it over is because the game came out so late in the console cycle.
Whatever, they could have already been working on that version. Like, they could have had a PS4 version ready to go, and they were like, you know what? Make a PS3 version first. We'll release that. The PS4 ain't ready type shit. And they could have did that.
Yeah, but that's something we don't know. That could be true.
I'm just speaking of hypotheticals, but that's my point, where it's like, that could have happened with the Nathan Drake thing. It's like, no, that was definitely something that you invested fucking thought into doing.
Well, that brings up a good point now. Like, okay, so Breath of the Wild. Technically, Breath of the Wild is on the Switch is the ported version. It's a Wii U game, and it was ported to the Switch.
But that's not a different made for thing. Where it's like, that's a completely different thing, because that's more just like, what is the definitive version? Then I guess that would be the argument for that. But that's still a new game, regardless of the platform.
It just happens
to be on two platforms.
It would have been like, instead of releasing The Last of Us on the PS3 late, holding off, and then dual releasing it on both systems.
Yeah, if they would have did that, then I would be like, okay, that's 100% the same fucking thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It made sense.
That still happens.
Or it would have been like one or the other. Like, if they would have waited, you know, put it out on the Wii U and be like, we don't know about this Switch yet.
At least they're not trying to fucking, like, remaster, like, Madden 96 and put it out for $60. Let's at least it hasn't gotten to that level yet.
But the thing is that, like, some people want that shit. And that's why when this topic came up, I was kind of thinking about all these different aspects of it, where it's like, you do have people who want weird shit like that. And you have people like me who see no value in shit like that.
Like, okay,
Phil. Look at the new Super Nintendo that's coming out.
Well, wait. Hold on, Clyde. Phil, what's three games you would want HD remastered for the PlayStation 4 right now?
But that's what I was just saying. Like, I don't see any value in this shit.
But what three would you want? If you could get any three games remastered, what would you want?
They would all be ridiculous shit, like Cyborg Justice on the Sega Genesis and, like, Bonk. But it's like, that's stuff that it's like, I feel like that's so far gone and we haven't gotten one of those games in so long, where if you were to remaster, you might as well just make a whole new game. Like, It's not going to be what it was. Unless they just took what was there and just fleshed it out.
Now, here's a question for you, Phil. With these remasters and ports, even ports more specifically, you're buying them on the Switch. Are you buying them on the Switch because there's not, you know, there's no other games that appeal to you?
Well, the ports that I've bought aren't games that I've played. So, like, you know, I could have potentially, if I wanted to, like, if I found an interest in Disgaea before I even knew it was coming on the Switch, I probably would have bought that on PS4. But I was hesitant because I had played one of those games in the past, and I didn't really understand it when I initially played it. So it immediately overwhelmed me, and I was like, no, 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 no. And then when I played the demo on the Switch, that was a little bit more inviting. So I bought it on there. I was like, this is a portable game. It makes sense. It's easy to play. Whatever. But I never played those games before. Same thing with Cave Story. I could have probably got that. I could have probably played that shit for free on the fucking browser. There's probably the Flash version still somewhere. But for the value, for like the type of game that I, you know, play in short bursts, like, it seemed worth it. And then now that I'm playing it, it's worth it. But again, none of these are games that I've touched before where I'm like, I want that again.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Now, the interesting was the Super NES Mini.
Well, in regards to that, because I put this in particular with the show notes, I think those kind of things are different. Like, they relate to the topic in a way, but they're different in that the NES Classic and any of these, like, old archival things of, like, here is a specific thing for these 30 old games, right? That's not necessarily taken away from the Switch. And that's not going to be on the Switch. So it's like, it's not going to interfere with what the Switch games are.
Well, so that's, I feel not like that's true.
I feel like that's in its own route. Especially when you get to, like, Raspberry Pis and stuff, where, like, that's kind of, that's an emulation of shit that you can play anything. That's not just Nintendo games.
Here's the thing. See, that's not necessarily true, because a lot of people want the Virtual Console. And one of the things that they think is on the Virtual that's stopping the Virtual Console right now is the release of these NES Minis and this Nintendo Classic. Why is Nintendo going to put a game out for the Switch when they can put out this little device and get you for $80 or $70 or whatever the price is?
Because,
but it's not, that's my thing though. You're not getting got. You would be getting got by rebuying the thing on the fucking Virtual Console for another $8. You see what I'm getting at? Instead of paying $60, which is only $2 for a fucking game, and you're getting a specific console where that shit sits isolated away from your other shit. So it's like, yeah, I guess you could look at it as, well, this is taking away from what could be on my Switch. But it's like, no, you can just buy that, have that all the time, know those games are there, and never fucking worry about
now,
it.
What
if, where the Switch can be full of new stuff.
Now, what if they just made the Virtual Console the box? Like, because that was my argument when the NES Classic came out. Why not just make the Virtual Console the NES Classic? Like, make a separate proprietary box?
I think the term is the issue. Like, I think that term has existed with the Nintendo cycle of consoles for too long, and people got way too fucking adjusted to that system.
But my thing is,
like, the name of it, the whole fucking convention of it doesn't make sense when those games can be sold either way.
But hear me out. Like, what if they made a box similar to the NES Classic, but it had access to the internet, and, like, you know, you could hook it up to a portable hard drive.
The point is that that stuff doesn't exist on the NES Classic because it is an isolated thing. The minute you start to include that shit, there's no reason to not have it on the Switch.
Dude, the NES,
which is the same argument that I'm saying towards the online system that they're going to provide. If they're going to give you a free game a month with an online-specific feature that you can't get anywhere else, why the fuck are they going to put that game out again on Virtual Console and be like, well, here's the original one if you want it?
Yeah, no, because I get you. But I mean, like, there's always, like, people that are going to buy it.
They're making money specific ways.
No, I feel that they're going to do that too, because here's the thing. Not everybody's going to buy online.
But again, like, they don't need Virtual Console to buy that. That's my point, though. Like, that,
well, you don't need to brand it Virtual Console anymore.
Doesn't need to exist to have those games on the store.
You just don't have to call it Virtual Console. I agree with that argument. Like, my thing
is,
you can
have a one-off fucking old school game on the eShop and not have everybody expecting, like, well, where's the next one? I mean, this is the Virtual Console. It's got all the old stuff, right? And it's like, well, no, this is just a random one-off.
No,
like,
I mean, Nintendo already fucked up their Virtual Console or eShop by not having
Neo Geo
scheduled
games.
Releases.
If they were going to do a Virtual Console, why the fuck wouldn't they put the Neo Geo games on it?
Because there's not an army of people asking for Neo Geo games.
Then why are they putting them out on the Switch?
Because they got to put something out.
That's my point, though. Wouldn't they just wait? Or wouldn't that be included as part of that brand? You see where I'm getting at?
I guess.
It doesn't make sense.
But my shit's like, if they put out Ninja Gaiden on the Switch, I'm buying Ninja Gaiden on the Switch. Like, I love Ninja Gaiden, so I'm going to buy it.
I just think the argument is whether or not, like, people need it to be a virtual console thing. I don't understand where that comes from. That's my confusion, at least. I think that name is just too in tandem with the sale of old games through Nintendo's platforms. And it doesn't have to be that. You can sell it however the fuck you want.
That's
but
true.
Regardless, does that, you know, if that system comes back, is that something that we could sit here and tie into this discussion? Like, I guess, but like, that's a dedicated thing specifically. If they brought Virtual Console back, you know what you're getting with that shit.
I guess you're right.
Like, if I'm going to the Virtual Console, I'm going there for an old game. I'm not going there to buy Madden. Unless it's an old-ass Madden.
Madden 96 on the Virtual Console.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, that's the whole thing that I would kind of be curious about. Like, if they did do the Virtual Console, would people be mad then? Like, man, they're just focusing on the Virtual Console. What about all the new stuff?
No, because people get pissed off every Nintendo generation.
People get pissed off about every fucking goddamn thing. Worried about what people get mad about.
But ever since the Wii, like, the Virtual Console's been a shell of its former self. Like, they're missing a lot of stuff on the Wii U that was on the Wii, and people were like, where are all the rest of the games? Why is there not a game every week? Why can't Nintendo release games every week on the Virtual Console? Like, Xbox and Microsoft can do... Xbox and Sony can do it every week, but, like, Nintendo just can't seem to get, like, a digital release schedule down where there's a Virtual Console game every week. And I think that's where people get the most upset about the Virtual Console or, you know, how it's structured. Like, they're just really upset about the release schedule and how they want more classic stuff on there. And they feel like even the classic stuff they do get on there is all just first-party stuff that they have, like, six times over again already. It's all about licensing rights,
but my
too.
Point isn't to, like, that. It's more to, like, do you think people would be mad about the issue that we're talking about? Like, if people are already mad that they're making remakes and remasters, and then you're going to sit and say, well, no, don't do that. Like, just invest all your money and time into just re-releasing all these fucking ports. Like, it's the same argument. Either way, it's an investment away from what could be put into new, creative, different experiences.
I guess.
And you're re-putting that into old shit.
But you really think those people that are porting that stuff over are people that would be working on a new game? My thing is it's not. Like, that's...
I have no idea, because I don't know how Nintendo does the Virtual Console. I would assume that it's all internal.
I do too, but I think there's separate teams working on that stuff, because I think that's just getting a licensing deal, making sure that it runs on whatever.
Oh, yeah. But as I say, that's money. That's some kind of an investment.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely an investment.
From something. I don't necessarily mean like a company. Like, you're pulling the Zelda team off. You motherfuckers go port these games.
That's why there hasn't been a fucking Metroid, because they're all fucking making parts.
If it costs them money to license this shit out or to have a person, you know, figure out the code to bring this from over here to over here or recode some shit, like, that is time.
It's time and resources. Yeah, I agree.
It's like, what do people want to complain about? Do they want to complain about that one thing is taken away from the other, or just that they don't want, that they just don't like shit?
Well, they're like...
And I think that's the heart of the argument.
Well, it's really. Like people with Earthbound. Like, man, I really want to own Earthbound, and then they put it on the Virtual Console, and it sold like crazy, but they're like, where's Mother 3 now? And then they're like, where's the new Earthbound game? And I'm like, dude, we're lucky we got Earthbound. Calm down.
But that's the thing, though. It's like, I can't seem to see what the difference is between the people who are, like, angry that this shit is affecting the new stuff argument versus people like me, where it's like...
Who gives a fuck?
This shit is irrelevant. Like, just stop. You know, make new franchises, man. Like,
yeah, but
fuck it.
New franchises
don't
happen because we're in the cut-and-paste era of gaming, though. And that's another topic for another day. Like, that's just the way the industry has evolved over time. Like... They'd rather not make these non-AAA titles every year. They just want to keep making the same cookie-cutter shit that they know is going to sell every single time they make it. Like, that's the problem with the gaming industry right now. It's not that there's HD remastered bullshit. It's that no one's willing to take a gamble anymore on anything. Like, that's the issue, and that's where, like, we're getting towards another crash in my estimation. Like, we're heading towards it, and people just don't see it, but... The industry's not as well off as people think it is, I don't think. Like, there's way too there's way too much bullshit. Way too
much. That's a topic for a definitely different episode.
Oh, I agree. Not to get off topic, but my thing is, in closing out this, you know, conversation on HD remasters, like, I do feel like there's games that people really want to see get remastered, and I wish, like, publishers would really hear those people out and hear what they have to say and what they want. But, like, in the end of the day, we're not going to get everything we want in life, so you're really not going to get all the games you want. But my thing is, I feel like the HD remasters hold a good place. I mean, for instance, my favorite video game of all time is Lunar Silver Star Story Complete for PlayStation 1. And I would love more than anything in the world to see that game remade from the ground up in HD on PS4. Is it ever going to happen? Fuck no. But it would be awesome if it did. And I know there's games that, you know, Phil would probably want remade or Kalai would want remade. But, like, at the end of the day, those do take away resources from companies that could be making new stuff. And it does affect the industry, whether we like to think it does or doesn't. Like, at the end of the day, there's only so much that can go around the table. And I feel like it does really affect what we see year to year. And it's easier for them to port a game than it is for them to make a new game. So if you can maximize your profits porting something, they're going to do that 9 times out of 10. So,
Kalai, do you have anything else to add?
No, that's, you know, I think we had a really good discussion on the whole topic.
Okay, I guess I'll just add, because I just kind of thought of this, and we can talk about this on a different episode if you guys want, but I could definitely see the effect of this. You know what I mean? It's obviously apparent that these things make money no matter how much it actually makes. Like, at the end of the day, if it's like a fucking flat-out success, like, man, thank God we put this thing out, because we were just sitting on a bankroll. Like, that's irrelevant to me. Like, I can see people investing in these, period. And you can see other companies, like indie companies, taking that idea and fleshing it out even further.
Yeah, well, like,
which is even more interesting.
Okay,
to see that.
So here's a good example of what you were just talking about. Look at a company like Limited Run Games. All they do is port games over from the PSN store that they want to see physically released. So, for instance, they put, like, Mutant Muds, and they put all the Shantae games from.
I know what you're talking about, but I think we're meaning different things, because what I'm talking about is, you look at a game like Shovel Knight, where it's like, that game is not a port or a remaster of anything.
No.
You can tell where the inspiration is coming
definitely,
from.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
And it's clear that this isn't the kind of game that you would, at least not up until, you know, the fame that it's gotten, but you look at that game originally and you're like, I could see why this is an indie game.
Oh, I agree, but
I don't think it's a full-fledged thing.
I don't think it should be an indie game. I don't consider Shovel Knight an indie game. That's a full-fledged game. That's a phenomenal.
I think that term is also a little bit used improperly. It is an indie game. It's made by.
Oh no, it's an indie developer. But I mean, I consider that it's a nice AAA title now. I mean, it's
yeah. But it's interesting to just see that transition over, because you could see, like, okay, well, these companies like the port stuff, but it's like, oh, you can see, like, they're splintering off to indie studios. You got the fucking company that made, Retro City Rampage Deluxe or whatever it was. They're now making another Switch game called, oh, man, it's like Beatdown Hawaii or Smackdown Hawaii. I forgot what it was called, but that's just literally, like, the same idea. Like, a retro-style GTA game, but kind of set in Miami Vice with Rambo. Like, it's weird, but you can see what they're pulling from and where they got the idea
definitely
from.
Definitely,
so,
I mean,
this stuff is making a huge change. It's just how far it's going to go. Like, how many games are going to make until they're like, okay, we probably shouldn't remaster all this.
Well, I mean, I think it'll have its day when it no longer becomes, you know, valuable to remaster games anymore. There'll be a time when people stop buying them. Like, people will speak with their wallets, like, eventually. But, like,
I think if we lived in the all-digital era, maybe.
No, I feel like if we lived in an all-digital era, we'd have more bullshit, because look at the PSN store, which is full of garbage. Like, literal.
Yeah, but that's just garbage. That's not old garbage.
If you get rid of physical, then everything goes to digital. So then it'd be flooded.
Like, if you want a good example of that, look at the Steam.
But again, like, Steam isn't just necessarily putting out old shit. It's, like, just garbage shit in general.
Shit just exists on Steam.
It's just bad shit. It doesn't have to be old, which is, that's the only thing that I could think that they could probably do to get away from that. It's like, all right, well, we just don't even fuck with that stuff anymore. It doesn't exist in this new ecosystem of sales, but who knows? Either way, I agree, Kalai, that was a super interesting topic. I'm glad we could talk about that stuff. outside of that, we're going to end the show. We've been going a while. So as always, thank you for listening to Game Stuff. I don't know why I keep saying as always. It's just a habit. You can find us at provinggamer.com. If you want, you want to be generous, you can help out provinggamer.com. Visit in the site. Go to the Amazon link. Click on that motherfucking link. It doesn't matter what's in it. Buy something on that visit. A little bit of that money goes back to the website. You're helping us out in a way, not really, but kind of. So, you know, help us help the site that we work for, kind of. I don't know. There's also some other shows that you can listen to if you want, but I don't know why you would. Some guy named Slicky Mick or whatever the fuck his name is hosts Trophy Whores. That's kind of the main thing, but we're going to run that, so I'm not worried about it. We got that Nintendo show. We got that covered, too.
You like wrestling? We got wrestling covered, too, with the smart marks. You can check it out.
We can talk about that on here, though.
The Nintendo.
Hey, you don't got to listen to that. We got that covered also. The Nintendo. But, yeah, you can find all of our shows on provinggamer.com. Like I said, Trophy Whores. We got Nintendo Dual Screens. And we got the Smart Marks podcast if you like wrestling. All that stuff is on the website. You can reach us on multiple things. We don't personally have, like, a Facebook or anything like that yet. But that's coming. Also, shout-outs to other people who helped us get this thing started and put together. Shout out to the people who are doing our intro music right now. A band named Take Away the Ugly. Song called Don't Panic. You can find them on bandcamp.com. Also, shout out to Isaac Sago. I'm sorry, it's just really hard for me to say his name without thinking of Sega. Shout out to him for doing the artwork for the show. You guys could check out his page with all his personal stuff. Or I don't know how he's running that website. I got to actually find out more. But IsaacSago.carbonmade.com.
It's his portfolio. So
you can see all his wonderful artwork on there. Clearly, he does amazing stuff. So give a gander at both of those things. And, yeah, you can find us here each week on iTunes and ProvingGamer.com. You guys want to share your Twitters with the folks at home?
My Twitter handle is Kalai21. That's K-A-L-A-I, the number 21. Give me a shout out on Twitter. I'll follow you back.
Nope.
And you can find me everywhere at Philosophy. It's spelled weird, so if you don't know, you'll see it in the show. You can copy it in there. I'm not going to spell it right now.
I mean, if you guys want to chill on PSN, you can add me on PSN. My profile is Mr. TMNT84. And we can play some games and talk and shit.
There you go. Well, thank you again for joining us this week. We will be back next week with another exciting episode of Game Stuff. Talk to you next time. Peace out.